There's one phrase, what you do, you never go to battle without God's approval, without it being a good and just cause. That way you'll always win. Why? God will allow it. Look at Elisha, when Elisha and his armor bearer, they were on a little hilltop, and the armor bearer looked over at the enemy. There were thousands of them. And there are just two of these. And Elisha said, God, could you just part the veil a little bit and let him see the true army that's with us? And the army of God that was with them was far exceeded those that were with the enemy. And of course, they scared a bunch of them to death, destroyed a bunch of them. So if God be with you, who can be against you? And never before has our nation been at a place where it needs to recognize that fact and kind of do a little culling, even if it comes to elections, that we must promote that is right in the judicial system. For this is a republic where majority rules, not some guest from another country. That something we might say might offend them. Hey, if you don't like our country, get out. Okay? It's that simple. As I stated on television last week, you invite a guest in like that and you serve, and he's in your house, you serve him some, say, peanut butter cookies, and he takes one and says, "Eck, I just hate peanut butter cookies," you know? And so that's the equivalency. But our judicial system has taken minds and twisted them to where in your own home, you have to let the freak do whatever he wants to. It's not going to happen. Majority rules. Now, this has nothing whatsoever to do with someone's religion. That's what this nation is about, freedom of religion. I don't care what religion someone might choose. As long as it's a religion of Almighty God. Because if it is a religion of Almighty God, its main import is not to offend or destroy people. Because God doesn't work that way unless you work against Him. And if God be for you, who can be against you? So we come to that time in history that your vote means more than it ever has before. I'm not talking about partisan politics here. I'm talking about what's right. And you vote your conscience for what is right. And you pick people wherever they might come from that hold that line. Because we've come to that place that we must have God with us or we're going to lose. Is that going to happen? Ain't no way, because God is with us. God always has been with us. That is the reason we are a superpower of superpowers, because we at least try, but we all fall short to do what is good. Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 13. Let's talk about war, and then let's go into history a little bit, and let's understand when our people have been successful, that is to say, the people that worship God, and when they have failed. Mark chapter 13, verse 7, and this is kind of to let you know where we stand today. "And when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet." It shall yet be yet. Well, you'll never hear, we hear war every day, right? So it's not time for the end. Next verse, "For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom." This means dominion against dominion. We see a lot of that in Afghanistan today. Okay, not as one nation, but little divisions there within. And unfortunately, the Afghan people are not their own boss. So things got to change. People should be able to rule themselves. Okay. "And there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles." And of course, I truly believe we see famine there, but not as bad as famine for hearing the true word of God from Genesis all the way through. These are the beginning of sorrows, and that word sorrows in the Greek means the labor pains. Labor pains of what? The birth of the new age. We're knocking at that door, though we're not at the end. And it's time for all people to put God first in their lives. And I'm not telling you to become a bunch of religious fanatics now. It's just what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong. Your father is family. Treat him as family. Respect him, love him, honor him. And probably most of all, obey him. Now, let's take probably one of the greater war, not the greatest war. We'd have to go, there have been so many. I'll just talk about some of them for a moment. Let's take Moses. God told him in Exodus, hey, go right on down there to the water's edge. And what he was doing, he was setting them in a trap. I mean, they're on a little islet there, and Pharaoh's got them cornered. There's no place to go but into the sea. But God told him, said, you take them right there. And then he told him, you pick up your staff and you wave it over that sea. That sea parted. Again, if God's with you, who can be against you? Nobody. Okay? And that was done as an example for you today, to let that settle in your mind, your heart. You want victory? Then be with God. You want to lose? Be against God. Be disobedient to God. All right? As a people comes to a point where they must make a stand. They must stand for something. And it's about time that this nation begin to get the barnacles of youth scraped off its feet and mature into what's right and what's wrong and see that it gets done. Right? By legality, certainly. But, you know, we're a government of the people and by the people. Majority rules here. The majority has been led around by nonsense way too long. This old politically correct. You might offend someone. Who cares? If it comes to displeasing God, who cares if it offends them? Do you care about offending Bin Laden? I think not. Does him good to be scared today. All right? We're not concerned about offending him, but doing what is right. So it's time for you to put your thinking cap on and say, whoa, you're not driving me into that corner of me giving up what is right and good and my respecting Almighty God for something else. It's not going to happen. All right, so God opened that Red Sea, they went across, and then he drowned the enemy. Hey, you can't lose if God be with you. All right? And then I mentioned Elisha. But let's take when God carried Moses away. You know, a lot of people say, nobody knows where Moses is buried. Well, God does. God wouldn't let anybody else bury him. He did. Last chapter of Deuteronomy will document that. Now, who took over then, basically? Well, let's say Joshua. And Joshua means Savior also, okay? Joshua received orders concerning Jericho. And really, when you work out the Battle of Jericho, you have the seven dispensations of time. Go around that city once, twice, everybody keep their mouth shut till right at the end, when we go around at the seventh time, which is the seventh trump, and wham, down came the walls. They rushed in and took the victory. But this is when you got to be careful. When things are going smooth, that's when people mess up, okay? What did God say concerning that battle? You know, when God wins a battle for you, and no one can deny, he had a great deal to do with winning that battle of Jericho. Open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 6, I'm going to say. And chapter 6, verse 1 stipulates, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none went in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof. And he did. Now, what I wanted you to do is go on down to verse 16. And it came to pass that this is chapter 6, Joshua, verse 16. And it came to pass at the seventh time when the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city, and the city shall be accursed. And this is the order. This is your order plan of the day. You've got to do it God's way. Okay? Listen to it carefully. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live. I still contend she was the best businesswoman in the community. She was not a harlot. She had the best flax material, and people traveled from other countries to come and buy her flax. What is that, linen? I think so. And stuff of that nature. It was fantastic. She was the best, and a lot of men were jealous. So, and she put up some of the travelers that came there. And naturally, what are a bunch of jealous people going to say? Did you hear about Rahab? Well, it isn't written that she was, but that title was given and it stuck, okay? And she helped God's people. She and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye, in any wise, this means under any condition, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated. That means they're holy. Unto the Lord, they shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Every one of them. You don't keep anything. Now, those would be a pretty easy set of rules to follow. You might wonder, well, what's the accursed thing? Anything of Babel. Any religion that goes against Yahweh, the Heavenly Father, the Creator of all. You know, there, inasmuch as He is the one God, anything else that you would place before God becomes an idol or a false religion to you. Well, you know, what's going to happen here, and I'm going to lay the groundwork so you're familiar with it. An old boy by the name of Achan, and Achan in the Hebrew tongue means troubler. Y'all ever had one of those in your midst? You know, troubler. In the military, we always say you've got the 10%, and you got to carry them. Somebody's got to, okay? So you might as well get stuck with it. But here we got a troublemaker, and he's going to lay his eyes on a Babylon priest robe, mantle. Ooh, he would not be looking good. Ooh, he would not clean up nice with that on. You see, you don't disobey God. When it comes to something that is diverse of his religion, his belief, his family, I guarantee you, you're going to get his attention. That goes for even today. You don't partake of the accursed thing. So, now, let's skip on over to chapter 7 here. I mean, things looking good. We just thrashed Jericho. We took it. Didn't lose hardly anybody. Why? Well, God just flattened it. Did it for us. Now we got Ai standing right over here. Do you know what Ai means? A heap. You see pictures of heaps today. We kind of made them that way, okay? It means a waste, a ruin, all right? That's after something's bombed and been blown away. It looks like a ruin. Well, Ai probably was a ruin from it for a different reason. But let's now think war here. Think battle. You're the general. You're the armchair general for today. You're going to plan this battle. And you're responsible for the lives of the people. So, chapter 7, verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, there's that little old troublemaker, the son of Carmah, vine dresser, the son of Zabdi, my gift, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah. They were of the tribe of Judah now. But hey, this is one entity. Don't hang Judah with it, all right? Just one person. Took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. I mean, he gave them a direct order. Discipline is important, friend. If you're going to serve God, discipline is so important. And do you know this is why people fall apart so easy when you put them under a little pressure? They got no discipline. They don't know how to cut it. And their anchor is not in God. Their anchor is in maybe their bank account or the ways of the world or something else, and their little old minds just go, whee, or it's gone. They can't think. They can't sleep. Have your anchor in Him and know, as long as you do it His way, we win, period. All right? We may have a few scrapes, but we can cut it. When it's too rough for anyone else to plow, we're happy. All right? There's no problem with that. Never let them see you. Never let your enemy see you sweat. Okay? You've got it made, friend. Don't ever forget. If God be for you, who can be against you? Verse 2, and Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven. That means the house of nothing, nada, empty. On the east side of Bethel, which is right there by the house of God. Okay, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai, went up to that heap. Looked over. And this is good. We're sending some troops up there to kind of canvass the neighborhood. We're going to scout it out and see what it takes to take it. That's good planning. Never go to war without knowing, considering what you're up against. This is the teachings of Jesus Christ. You're familiar with it. Never go to war until you know what it's going to take to win it. And if you think you can't win it, you better send some ambassadors. Okay. Well, they went up to scout out, to reconnoiter, just like kind of like we did the other day. We went up and reconnoitered this place. Oh, incidentally, did you know one of their leaders had an accident with a hand grenade? Boy, did he have some help. But it read good, didn't it? He was killed by his own hand grenade. Whoa, careless of him, wasn't it? Okay, anyway, I can't help as an old trooper kind of reading between the lines when I know we got troops all over the place, all right? And helping things along. You just can't help. A professional can sure tell a lot when he sees amateurs in action, all right? And I'm not talking about our people by any means. You're not going to see them. We're not going to see them. But pay attention. It doesn't take... They cause things to happen. Why? God is with us. Anyway, we're going to send a team up here to look this place over and see what it takes to take the town. Verse 3, and they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but a few. We just saw a few of them up there. It won't take that many. Now, you see, we've left something out, friend. Did Joshua get permission from God to go up and look at Ai? Or did Joshua ask God, would you help us hunt out Ai and tell us whether or not you'd like for us to take it? Uh-uh. I mean, so quick after Jericho, the very next battle, they forget to consult with the captain. That's to say Almighty God, to pray to Him for guidance. And don't you ever forget to pray every day for our men and women that are paying for the freedom you enjoy to worship as you choose. All right? Hey, it doesn't come cheap, friend. So don't forget to pray for them and ask that God be with them and that God bless them. All right? Verse 4. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. I mean, they came off that heap quicker than they went up there. they got trounced. I mean, whipped. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, down to the breach, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. They were scared to death. What put that fear in them, do you think? Well, do you believe God's in control, or do you not believe God's in control? God can put fear in your heart at any moment. You know, if God wanted to, he could make you think you had anthrax before night. You know, simply by allowing you to probably get shook up using your own psychology. Could I have? I might have. No, I mean, I'm using that to illustrate how you got to be anchored in him, or your mind can play tricks on you. You can imagine all sorts of things and be one fearful mess, just like these were. I mean, they tore the side of that hill up, getting down off of it. They only lost 36 people. I mean, they didn't put up much of a fight for some reason. Do you understand? 2,000 or 3,000 went up, and only with 36 casualties, they take the HA route. Whoops. I really shouldn't have said that. That doesn't mean haul out. That means, it's an old military term for the trail you take. I'm in trouble, aren't I? Anyway, you slice us. Right, anyway, but you make your escape. They took it, okay? Way to go. So they were frightened, scared to death. Now, how would you like to have some old buddies like that fighting beside you? Okay? That wouldn't be nice. But they didn't have God with them. Beloved, that's the point. You've got to be on the right side with our Father. 6, and Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. I mean, this was a sad state of affairs. I mean, we just had this victory at Jericho. Everything went so smooth. And here we get just shamed. And Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan." Now, I'll tell you what, Joshua is a better leader than this, and I can hardly believe that God didn't let his countenance fall just a little bit so these correct words get put before us that might have weak hearts, you know? Because doubt is a dangerous thing. Leaders don't have the privilege of doubting. Okay. You be with God, and if God be with you, who can be against you? But always make sure you're right, because if you're wrong, you're going to get trounced, all right? Well, how do I know if I'm right? Well, I guess that's for leaders to decide, isn't it? And their continuance depends upon it. 8, O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? Now, we're kind of getting a start in the right direction here. He finally asked God, what can I do? Right? Now, that's beginning to kind of ask for, and it's long overdue, some good advice in this situation, as much as God's controlling it. For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us round, and cut off our name from the earth, and what wilt thou do unto thy great name? We have really messed up. The Canaanites are far bigger than this bunch. And if they get word that they trounced us, what do you think they're going to do to us? He had a right to be shook a little bit. But he had forgotten one thing. He forgot to talk to God about Ai, the heap. You can get in a heap of trouble in any generation by not discussing with God prayerfully as to what is right and wrong, and listen to me, quite frankly, going by God's law, making sure you're not crossing God's plan, God's law. If you're going to war, do it God's way. And that means always for the right and just cause. Okay, that's my point. Verse 10. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Get up from there and act like a man. Okay, here he's down there, and he just had the battle of Jericho, and blessed so much, and here he is. Of course, he cared for his people, so we have to give a little slack there, but God's a little, you know, he's been kind of left out, and he's a little bit, you know, you can imagine. 11. Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant in which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. They've got it. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed thing, accursed from among you. Now, that's kind of the way God operates, and that holds true even to this day. Okay? And that means you're either with God, or you're probably against him. You're either in favor of the terrorist, or you're in favor of destroying them. Or at least bringing them to judgment. I'll be nice, okay, for the tender heart. But you're either with God or you're against him, quite frankly. And that can be quite a dangerous equation for someone that's not really practiced in discernment. Verse 13, up, sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. Now, think back in history a little bit. Take Eleazar, the third son of Aaron, and his two older brothers, to show you how sloppy religion or sloppy discipline can get you in trouble. It comes time to fire up the altar. And they kind of took a shortcut, and they probably grabbed some fire out of a stack of buffalo chips, and here they took off to light up the altar, and God killed both of them. Bam! Just like that. When you're dealing with God's altar, you want to make certain that you're not taking any shortcuts. That would be an insult to God, to try to substitute something that he gives a direct command against, even to the place whereof sits the mercy seat. How could there be mercy if you insult him and the seat? Okay? So he takes this very serious. That's my point. 14. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes. It shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof. In other words, we're going to take this one at a time, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. I'm going to call them out. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing, he shall be burnt with fire. That's called a cleansing, okay? He and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel, he has wrought wickedness. God hates wickedness, all right? He's very forgiving when you recognize your problems. But at the same time, he expects discipline. You know, many of you that are professional people that have people working for you, you expect them to do their job, don't you? Naturally you do. If they won't, what do? You got to discipline them or get rid of them, all right? Period. It's just part of life and everyday life. What would make you think our Father would want a bunch of children that absolutely had no discipline, which shows lack of respect for him? Okay, one at a time. Here we go. Keep that wickedness out of my house, especially at a time of war. 16. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. Now we know that old Achan is there in Judah. 17. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarhites. And he brought the family of the Zarhites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. My gift was taken and brought in there. 18. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, here's old troubler, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, and of the tribe of Judah was taken. 19. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. Just break it out here in the clear. 20. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. You know, this is kind of Judgment Day. Judgment Day is a little too late to repent, all right? I mean, he's brought all this upon his own people. This is what lack of discipline will do to a group of people. It's very harmful. Especially if you're at war. Some of you might say, well, we're not. Oh, yes, you are. You're in a spiritual war. And if you could see what's going on in the heavens, we might all be quite shocked. Probably not. But there is a war between good and evil, and it's raging. So it's important that you discipline yourself. 21. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, this is a mantle, a priest robe, and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold and 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. Exactly what God told them not to do. Only he went one step further. He took a foreign religious object and coveted it over the simplicity of loving his Father, Almighty God. God will not tolerate it. Now, we have in this time people who have crept in, and inasmuch as the nation sings God Bless America, we know we need God. When this travesty is brought down on innocent women, children, innocent people. You know, we servicemen have seen this stuff for a long, long time. We've tried to keep it away. But here it is right on the doorstep. Bang. And it is natural. It is a natural thing for people to turn to God when there's trouble on this nature. And yet, you are going to have schools that will say, our president says, quote, the Pledge of Allegiance, one nation under God. We cannot allow our people, children, to say under God. It might offend a foreigner. That's bringing trouble. That's bringing the accursed thing right among your school children. I don't care if it is a Muslim. I do not believe a Muslim will object to saying one nation under God. An atheist, then you might be talking about something different. Or a school places on its marquee, God bless America. And some foreign thinking person, they were an American citizen, filed with the ACLU, that's always what, anyway, filed, and said the word God is offensive to me. Listen, while we have servicemen and women in harm's way, to allow some freak, some nut, to be making a personal point, it might offend me. Who cares, sugar? Who cares if it offends you? Get out. Go somewhere else. It's time, my friends, to get rid of the accursed thing as it comes and raises its ugly head in America. We have freedom of religion, where every religion can be respected with dignity. But when you try to drive a wedge between God and America, you're going too far. They overstep their bounds. And the American people are not going to tolerate it. It's one step too far. They picked the wrong time in history when the passions of patriotism run deep in the veins of mothers and fathers that have children, their own bloodline, on the front line in harm's way, for some nut to come forward. Well, are you calling people names? I said some nut comes forward. That's not calling a name. That's identifying them for what they are. That's so disrespectful, so unthoughtful, to even compare it to somebody throwing a peanut butter cookie down and crushing it into your rug is mild. It's time for America to stand up for something. The founding fathers, well, you don't understand, there's supposed to be separation of church and state. Wrong. The Constitution declares that no government can establish a church. That's period. It does not say that the government can interfere with the church as long as it operates under the Constitution of the United States. That's why we have freedom of religion. The government has no business coming in telling someone what they can place on their signs, right? Now, naturally, they're not going to bother anyone. If I wanted to put a big sign out there and say, God bless America, that's our right as free Christians. But it's when you take a school building. And what's really sad about this is when we have driven God totally from the classroom. And what do we get instead? Columbine. Kids having no morals, gunning down kids. In San Diego, some copycatist butchering children because they have no morals whatsoever. Why? Because we have allowed the accursed thing to come in. If God be for you, who can be against you? You allow a bunch of outsiders to drive God from us and put up with it without raising your voice. You deserve what you will get, and deserve it you shall. But I got some good news for you. We're not going to put up with it. It's time for change, and there will be change in America. You see, Bin Laden and his group have no idea what they unleashed when they hit the Twin Towers. They unleashed a mighty giant that serves God. I know we're not perfect, but we're going to see some interesting things as time continues on. I brought you to this point to help you identify the accursed thing. It's hard to recognize. I just don't like the word God used. Then get out. We've got to mentally prepare ourselves to handle people like that. And if they want to go to court, fine. We'll go to court with them. If that won't do it, next election we'll get some judges put in that will use common sense and use God's law rather than what's politically correct. This is a nation of the people, by the people, and for the people. Therefore, God rules over all, but in this nation, majority rules, not some fruitcake. I think I said my piece. Anyway, that's a fine religion. I like that. Boy, I look good in that mantle. I mean, people were going to bow and scrape, and didn't matter that what was connected with it. Verse 22. So Joshua sent. We're back in chapter 7, 22. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. I mean, after a direct order from God saying that material is sanctified, the gold and silver. And they took them out of the midst of the tent and brought them into Joshua and into all the children of Israel and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold and his sons and his daughters and his oxen and his asses and his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them into the valley of Achor. Achor in the Hebrew tongue means the valley of trouble. And it was trouble for him. And Joshua said, "Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day." And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones, and they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord, turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. What I'm telling you is this, and I do believe, I don't think God is happy with us if we don't lift our voices and allow some fruitcake. Now, please don't think when I say fruitcake, I'm talking about some religion. We have freedom of religion in this nation. I'm talking about people that are atheistic, ungodly creatures that have faith in nothing but themselves or something else. God expects us to raise our voice up against that, and that's why we're having this lecture today. This is our thoughts concerning those that would blaspheme God or his name at a time when we need him so desperately and his guidance to bring justice to evil in this world. God takes care of things when we obey him, when we discipline him. Always, never leave him out of the equation of your life. That's why this was broke down even to man, and there's no gender in that. It even means woman to woman. I mean, talk to him. Consult with him. Ask him to guide you and lead you in your endeavors, whatever it may be. And it makes his day. He's quite happy to. What was the results of this? Let's just go two verses in chapter 8 of Joshua. And the Lord said unto Joshua, "Fear not, neither be thou dismayed." Don't you be discouraged. "Take all the people of war with thee, and arise and go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land." That easy. "And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king, only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee an ambush of the city behind it." Even gives them their strategy, their military strategy. So you see, if God be for you, who can be against you? I see in this nation a problem rising when one entity that is not even of God, well, how can you say that? God's the father of all children, but is not in contact with God, stops a whole nation from doing a thing, or stops it cold from showing patriotism, to pour water on the correct spirits of the people without having some kind of correction. God will see to the correction, but at least let a voice identify them for what they are. They're disrespectful. If they talk against God in a house of where people worship God, or in a business or anywhere else, if they blaspheme God, and it is blasphemy to say, His name makes me uncomfortable. Well, it should. As a student of the Word, I'm only glad it's not the sacred name, or it'd be a lot worse, okay? And I'll let that pass for what it is. But it's time that we put a stop to it, okay? That we at least raise our voice and identify them and say that is crude, disrespectful to this people. If an atheist wants to believe what an atheist wants to believe, get yourself a little place over here, a coven. Is that what they call an atheist place? No, that's for a witch, isn't it? Anyway, get you a place over there and worship. Have a good time. This is a free country and a big price has been paid. But don't come around God's children causing trouble. Achan. Little old Achans all over the place. And thank God there's not that many. But I believe, and I have fought and shed blood for the right of anybody to believe what they wish to believe. And I'm not a proselyter. I don't go around trying to get people to change their mind. That's the last thing. You know, I'm not hard up for students, okay? And God isn't either. It's whomsoever will. But, we got some more war to talk about here. But it's disrespectful, it's not nice, and they are crude and rude. So rather than having to be some meek little mouse and retreat to your hole, say, I don't like that. I don't appreciate it. I think you're out of place. And they are. Okay. If God be with you, who can be against you? All right? Okay, let's go to another war here. New Testament, Revelation chapter 12. There is a war coming, all right. Revelation chapter 12. We're just about to conclude here. Speaking of war, there is coming a time at the sixth trump where the spurious Messiah is coming to this earth. All right? And there is war in heaven in verse 7 of chapter 12 with Michael and the dragon, Satan, serpent, whatever name you want to call him. He has a lot of titles because he wears a lot of hats. I want to pick it up in verse 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast onto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, times and a half time, 3.5 years, from the face of the serpent. Of course, we know this has been shortened considerably. Revelation chapter 9 makes sure it's shortened to a 5-month period. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. What is that? What is that water? It's lies. It's deception to deceive the woman. 16. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. God's hand, okay? And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Yeshua Messiah. Now, which there was a qualifier there. He is not interested in making war with anyone else. He has nothing, as it is written in the book of Daniel chapter 11, good things to say about them. Pat them on the back. Oh, you're a great servant of God. He's only interested in destroying those that truly follow Yahweh, the living God. And he's going to make a good stab at it. But boy, does his day come to an end in a hurry back over in chapter 20 of this same book. At the end of the Lord's day, 1,000-year period, that's how long a day is with the Lord. Pick it up with verse 9. And they went, in verse chapter 20, book of Revelation, verse 9. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, that's Jerusalem, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. It's going to be a quick war. Our Father watches over His children, okay? And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. End of that war at the end of that thousand-year period. Now, our Father, quite frankly, is against war. Never. You know, in Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 18 and 19, it tells you, as the king of Tyrus, which means the fake rock, Satan, the old dragon, whatever you want to call him, what God intends to do with him. He intends to turn him to ashes from within. God is a God of love, and He simply will blot out. That means, that's why you're not going to shed any tears for any of your loved ones that, let's say, don't make it, all right? They're going to be blotted out as though they never existed. Then we will have no more war. But my dear friends, until then, we shall. There have been many wars in the past, and religious wars are going on today and have been since the beginning of the century, basically. Unending. It's just that I don't want to say that we've raised a bunch of wimps here in the American people, but they've been very protected. But there are a few old heads that know what it cost to protect that freedom, to have that solace and a place to worship God. But I hate to see people that have been protected allow the very worship of God to their choice be smudged by unbelieving atheists that bring the accursed thing right into our camp. Okay? Not going to happen without at least being spoken against. Now, there is a right way and a wrong way to do everything. And so that everyone understands and we're on the same page, I'm not saying for you to rush out and do harm to somebody. We do it the legal way. We do it with the Chad. Okay? We're about to do away with the Chad. By vote, okay? Multitude rules when it comes to our country. God rules when it comes to our hearts, minds, and souls. God rules in all good Americans, regardless of what faith they are. And may God bless America. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Father, for the privilege of serving You. Be with us this day. We ask it in Yeshua Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Free introductory package. Say, this is something we would like to offer for a one-time gift to all the new folk that study with us. This introductory package gives you a monthly newsletter, which means each month you will receive a newsletter with a Bible study on it. Hey, raising funds? No way. We're not beggars. We're Bible teachers. That's what it consists of. A tape catalog that will give you all the topics that are covered. And the Mark of the Beast tape. What is this Mark of the Beast? Is it really on your forehead? No, Satan's considerably more intelligent than that. It's in your forehead, which is to say, in your mind. Have you been deceived? This is a free offer to you, one time to each new student. Say, find out what's really happening and what the story is on the Mark of the Beast.
And Tracy and Jim from Tennessee. We're taught about the two witnesses being killed in studies we've had with other students. We are told that the two witnesses represent the law and the prophets, and that the two witnesses could involve the whole body of the two churches, Smyrna and Philadelphia. We want yours or Pastor Murray's opinion, I guess this was written to Dennis, on this subject for the edification of the whole body. Well, if Smyrna and Philadelphia were the two witnesses, that would mean all of God's elect were going to die. And God, having made the statement in Revelation chapter 9, verse 4, don't you dare touch mine that have the seal of God in their forehead, you kind of are trying to make God a liar. Okay? And there is one thing. How many people... I dislike it when people put multiple bodies into one entity. An entity is an entity. It's not a group. You'll deceive people with that. It would be like the people that try to say the Antichrist is a body. No. How many Christs were there, sons of God, born of Mary, the only begotten of God? One. So how many can imitate him in being the so-called Antichrist? 20, 30, 40? No, one. These are two individual people. And whether it be Elijah and Moses, whether it be Elijah and Enoch, two people that never died, because these two are definitely going to die on the street, or whether it's two people walking the earth today that God decides to use. I don't know. But it is two singular entities, all right? It can't be... go back. I want you to do your homework all over again. Go back to Zechariah chapter 4. It's the two sons, Bini, Bar, two sons of oil, not two churches. Okay, I think I've said enough, okay? That's a dangerous way to get yourself deceived, okay? Stick to God's Word.
A tape catalog and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645, 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas, 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas, 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.